How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Mem Zayin, Daf 47, from Masechet Bava Metzia, friends, your friends. Yo, Daf 47 is awesome. Yeah, okay, we're talking about Tin Chalifin. We get into shtickle, how exactly does Chalifin work, which is awesome. We see the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes about what can be used for the Chalifin thingy. Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how exactly a kinyan works. Mida oraisa, is it meshicha? Is it money? Awesome stuff. I'm gonna roll up my sleeves. 1 second. All right, here we go. Let's do this. So we're gonna start on daf mem vav amud beis on the last line of the daf. Omer Rabba, Omer Funa Mechor Li Ba'elu Ka Na V'yesh Lo Olav Ona'a Konafagav De Lo Mashach Tchim De Lo Kapid. Wow. Okay. Givaldig. Okay, so Be'etzim Reuven goes to Shimon. And he says, Shimon, hey, I see you got a barrel of wine over here. Here, take this money. And Shimon's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And he accepts it. Doesn't look how much it is or anything like that. Shimon just kind of accepts it. Okay? So again, okay, so what is our mechor li ba'elu? Achaz biyado mos. Reuven's holding out the money. V'amel lechaver, and he says to Shimon, mechor li chepes shelcha ba'elu. Just sell me this thing with this money. Shimon doesn't ask how much is it, let's say the barrel of wine, let's say, is $1,000. And Reuven just gives some money to Shimon. Shimon doesn't look how much it is, doesn't say anything, he just takes it. So Amar Rabba, Amar Ravuna, Mechor Li Ba'elu. So if Reuven says to Shimon, here, sell me your barrel of wine for these, and Shimon doesn't look, he just accepts it, Kona, it's a good sale. V'yeshlo Olav Ona, and there is also a concern about Ona, which is interesting. We're going to get to Ona, we're going to start getting to learning about Ona, and Daf Memtes Amud Beis, in the next Mishnah, Be'etzim. Okay, you have to be concerned, I guess, if he paid him too little or too much, you would have to be concerned about Ona, which is overcharging or undercharging. Fine. Kona afagav delo mashach. So Reuven is kone the barrel of wine, if that's what he's buying. He could be buying anything, but let's just say it's a barrel of wine. He's kone the barrel of wine, even though Reuven didn't pick it up. He didn't make a kinyan meshicha. The chim delo kapid, because since Shimon wasn't particular, he didn't really care how much he was receiving. He's just like, yeah, whatever. So kana dechi chalifin domi. So it's basically like a kinyan chalifin, right? A kinyan chalifin, we're going to learn about this a little bit more now, but a kinyan chalifin doesn't actually have to be the actual value, right? Like meaning, when I go to sell my chometz to the rabbi and he gives me his pen and I pick up his pen and he gets my chometz, I could have a whiskey collection worth thousands and thousands of dollars. He gave me his pen. So the fact that Shimon didn't actually look at how much money he was receiving, he's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. So Be'etzim was a kinyan chalifin. So therefore, Reuven now owns the barrel of wine, even though he didn't pick it up. V'yeshlo olav ona, but there's still a din of ona, so we would actually have to see how much Reuven actually gave Shimon, because if it's more, if it's overpriced by a sixth or underpriced by a sixth, So then either party would be able to take it back. The mechor li ba'elu kam, because it says mechor, sell me, like a regular sale where ona'a would be relevant. The mechor li ba'elu kam le. Rav Abba omer Rav Huna, but Rav Abba says in the name of Rav Huna, mechor li ba'elu, if he says, sell me your barrel of wine with this money, and he doesn't say how much, and Shimon doesn't look how much, Kona, so it's a good kinyan, but there's no ona because it's a regular kinyan, it's a kinyan chalifin, and there's no And there's no ono when it comes to chalifin, right? As we said, the rabbi gives me the pen and he gets my whiskey collection. It's not balanced, but it still works when it comes to chalifin. Okay. So now, the Gemara asks kind of an interesting question. I hope I understand it on some level. I don't think it's particularly hard. It's maybe arguably a little weird to read, but let's see. Pshita domim ve'ein makbir alein okaminan dekani. Deka chalifin domu. Right? So it's obvious. So by the way, if anybody was wondering, like, wait, how could money be used for a kinyan chalifin? It's a good question. We're going to ask that soon. Right? Because it seemed like we were saying that maybe, I mean, it's a machlokas. Can money been used for chalifin or not? So here we seem to be assuming, it sounds like we're assuming that money can be used for chalifin. We'll see in a few minutes. So pshita domim ve'ein makbir alein okaminan dekani. So, when it comes to, you know, if Shimon is not makbid on how much he's receiving from Reuven, so we said that it works, deka chalifin damu, that it's a good sale because it's considered like a kinyan chalifin. Okay. Chalifin u makbid alein. Oh, interesting. Wait. So, damu ve makbid alein, o kaminu dekanu. Deka chalifin damu. Chalifin u makbir alein mai. Interesting. So what if by kinin chalifin, you know, what if I'm going to sell my chametz to the rabbi and the rabbi gives me his pen? And I'm like, wait a second. I'm giving you thousands of dollars worth of whiskey and you're giving me a pen. This isn't balanced. Right? So if sort of the parties or one of them is kind of more concerned about the, you know, how much things are worth, right? In general, you go to sell your chametz, right? You go, the rabbi gives you a pen. You're not really paying attention. You're like, all right, you know, I'll do whatever you say. Give me a pen. Say, pick it up. You pick it up. Now somehow the whiskey belongs to the rabbi. Okay, no. How much does it cost? I don't know. How much does the pen cost? I don't know. Whatever. We're doing a kinyan chalifin. I pick up the pen. You get my chametz. Whatever, you know. And that's it. But what if the people are concerned, as we're going to see in a minute? Well, what if they kind of are concerned about how much weight, we're about to swap things. What are the actual values of the things that we're swapping? So then what happens? So Amr Vada Bar Ahava says, Vada Bar Ahava Tashma, come in here. Harishahoya Toface Paroso Ve'omid. If Reuven had his cow and he was standing in the middle of the Shuk Machne Yehuda with his cow, and Shimon comes to Reuven and he says, why did you bring your cow to Shuk Machne Yehuda? Most of the cows in Shuk Machne Yehuda are dead. How come you brought a live cow to Shuk Machne Yehuda? So l'chom rani tzarech, because I'm looking for a donkey. I want to buy, I want a donkey. So yesh l'chom shani no sein l'cho. So Shimon says, you know what? I talk, I have a donkey. Let's make a kinyan chalifin. I'll get your cow, you get my donkey. Paroscha b'chama, b'chach v'chach, okay. And then they kind of say, okay, now how much does the cow cost? It costs such and such amount. Chamorcha b'chach b'chach, how much does your donkey cost? It costs such and such amount. Okay, and then they move on and they do the kinyan, or seemingly they do the kinyan chalifin. Moshach b'ala chomer es hapore. If Shimon now gives a tug to Reuven's cow, v'lo hispik bala pore limshoch es hachomer. Now Reuven did not yet have an opportunity to make a kinyan meshicha on Shimon's donkey. Reuven did not have an opportunity yet to make a kinyan meshicha on Shimon's donkey. Ad shemes hachomer, and then the donkey dies before Reuven has an opportunity to do a kinyan meshicha. Lo kono. Balachomor es apara. So the balachomor, so Shimon is not quoted the para. Okay. So, it's a little bit funny. We're going to have to explain it in a minute. But basically, what we want to say right now, what we want to argue now, is that actually, I don't know, it seems like a little bit funny, but the way I understand it is, what the Gemara wants to argue is that if they're makbid, as they were in this case, right? Shimon says to Reuven, "Nu, how much does your cow cost?" And Reuven says to Shimon, "Nu, how much does your donkey cost?" Right? They were kind of interested in the actual values. So because they were interested in the actual values, it actually was not a kinyan chalifin. Right, kinyan chalifin, right, I go to sell my chametz, I don't know how much my chametz costs, I know I have my whiskey collection, right, I also maybe have stuff in the pantries, whatever it might be, and I don't know how much the rabbi's pen costs, he gives me the pen, I pick it up, he gets the chametz, okay, that's that, you know, nobody's really paying attention. But if they are paying attention, right, Shimon wants to know how much Reuven's cow costs, Reuven wants to know how much Shimon's donkey costs, well then it's no longer a kinyan chalifin, it's actually a sale. So Shimon gave a tug to Reuven's cow, and he now owns Reuven's cow, but Reuven hadn't yet given a tug to Shimon's donkey, so he didn't yet own Shimon's donkey. And if Shimon's donkey died before Reuven had an opportunity to give it a tug, to do a kinyan meshicha, so then basically, you know, so then Reuven doesn't get Shimon's dead donkey, and you know, you could then imagine, say like, hey, if you're not going to pay me for my cow, then the deal's off. So Shmamina Chalifin Umakbid Alein Lo Konam. So we see that if they are makbid on the actual values of the items that are being swapped, so that does not work by kinyan chalifin. It becomes just a regular sale, a regular acquisition of you know, paying value for something. But Rava says, I don't know about this. Amar Rava says, Rava, one second. Atu chalifin b'shuftini askinan de lo kapte. Rava says, wait, one second. Rava says, you're saying that as long as they're interested to know like how much things actually cost, chalifin is called off. It's only a kinyan chalifin if nobody actually cares. So Rava says, wait, so you're talking about that in the pasuk in Megillas Rus with Boaz and the Goyel where we learn out kinyan chalifin from, no, just nobody actually cared about anything. It's like, all right, I'll give you a shoe, you give me a field, all right, yeah, whatever, good, let's get it over with. Nobody actually cared? Rava says, come on, that's crazy. You could still do a kinyan chalifin even when people actually care about what things cost. And therefore, when Shimon says to Reuven, how much does your cow cost? Reuven says to Shimon, how much does your donkey cost? They could still do a kinyan chalifin. Ela kol chalifin mikapid kapte. No, whenever it comes to a kinyan chalifin, you can still have a kinyan chalifin even if people care about how much the things cost. Vikana, and it's a valid kinyan. V'hochav mayaskin, and what happened in this case with Reuven's cow and Chukmach Nihuda and Shimon's donkey, the Omar lay that Shimon says to Reuven that I'll give you my chomer, I'll give you my donkey bepare v'tale for your cow plus a sheep as well. U'mashach es hapara, and Shimon gave a tug on the cow. V'adayin lo mashach es hatale, but he still hadn't yet done a kinyan meshicha on the sheep, and therefore the chalifin was not yet complete. And at that point, the donkey died, so there was never actually a kinyan chalifin because the donkey died before the chalifin was complete. So that's why it also says, this makes more sense because it says lo kana bala chomer esapara. So then Shimon never actually acquired the cow, because the whole thing was that he was going to acquire the cow and the sheep as a package deal, and when that was complete, then Reuven would own the donkey. But the donkey died before Shimon had an opportunity to give a tug to the sheep, so the whole thing kind of fell apart. Lahavale Meshicha Ma'ayu was not a proper Meshicha, and therefore the whole kind of kinyan chalifin unraveled. But by kinyan chalifin, you know, if the rabbi says, hey, how much would you say your whiskey collection is valued at? And I say, how much would you say your pen is valued at? It would still be a proper kinyan chalifin. I don't remember if actually the rabbi asks how much it's valued at. I can't remember. Maybe some do, some don't. I don't know. Okay, Givaldik. Okay, so you can still have a kinyan chalifin even if the people are interested in how much things cost. Omar Mari said earlier, Mechor li ba'elu kona v'yesh lo olav ona. Okay, so we had said earlier that if Reuven says to Shimon, hey Shimon, there's your wine barrel. Here, take this money and I'll take your wine barrel. And Shimon doesn't even look, you know, Reuven doesn't say how much he's giving him. Shimon doesn't look at how much it is. And it now belongs to Reuven. And we said, because it's like a kinyan chalifin. Reuven gave him some money, and Shimon, and he gets Shimon's, and he swaps the money for Shimon's wine. So does that mean that Rav Huna holds that a coin can be used as the chalifin thingy? Right? Reuven's giving a coin, he's giving money to Shimon, and he gets Shimon's, Mimele gets Shimon's wine barrel. Lo, Rav Huna sub like Rav Yochanan, no, Rav Huna actually holds like Rav Yochanan, the Amar Dvartor Maus Konos. No, Rav Huna actually holds, right, because we said that Reuven acquires the wine barrel even if he didn't do a kinyan mashiach on it. But that's because Rav Huna holds like Rav Yochanan that mida oraisa, money can actually be a valid acquisition. So therefore, when Reuven gives Shimon the money, he's actually acquiring the wine barrel, and he doesn't actually need to do a kinyan mishicha. Now, and pnei ma'amu mishicha kona. So then, why, if mida oraisa, as we learned yesterday, and as we're going to learn now and again later on memzayin mebeis, if mida oraisa a kinyan works with just money, so then why did the chacham say do a kinyan mishicha? So gzeira shemayomai lo nisifu chitecha v'aliyah, out of the concern for that if you're buying wheat and you pay for it, and now it belongs to you, but you didn't actually do a mashicha, it's still in the wheat by the wheat monger, and then there's a fire, he's not going to save it. But mida oraisa, a kinyan works by just giving money, and milsa d'shchicha gazu bar rabbanim, when the rabbis say that the buyer should do a kinyan mashicha, and that the money is not enough, it's by sort of regular scenarios of buying, right? A guy goes to a wheat monger, he says, how much does a kilo of wheat cost? Such and such an amount. Okay, I'll take 10. All right. Kind of a regular sale that you walk into a store and buy it from a seller. So that would be, you'd have to do a kinyan mishicha. But something uncommon, like Reuven just going up to Shimon and saying, oh, Shimon, I see you have a barrel of wine. Here, take this. That's kind of less common. Logos were rabbanon. The rabbis did not make the gezerah, and therefore in this case, the kinyan ma'os works. Amalei, right, and so it's not a kinyan chalif, and it's a regular, it's a Torah has domim, it's a regular sale. Amalei, mahuna breder of Nachman, the Rav Ashi says, mahuna breder of Nachman to Rav Ashi, atun hochi masnisu la, okay, you have taught it like this. You know, he asked the Kasha, does Rav Huna hold that Matmei Daisi Chalifin? And we said, no, not necessarily. It could be that he holds like Rav Yochanan. But on an Ochim Asninon, we talk and learn like this. V'chein Am Rav Huna, ein Matmei Daisi Chalifin. On yesterday's daf, in Vav Mor Aleph, we had a whole bunch of people. We had Ula Amar, ein Matmei Daisi Chalifin. V'chein Am Rav A, I'm reading from yesterday's daf. V'chein Am Rav Asi, ein Matmei Daisi Chalifin. V'chein Am Rav Babachano, Am Rav Yochanan, ein Matmei Daisi Chalifin. Says Rav Huna, Breder of Nachman, to Rav Ashi, I think that was who's talking, that we taka add Rav Huna to the list. V'chein Amar Rav Huna, similarly Rav Huna says, Ein Matbe, Naisa Chalifin, that coins cannot be used for Chalifin. So now we get into some really awesome, stuff about how the Chalifin actually works. Who's giving what to who? What can you give to who? This is Givaldiga stuff. It's awesome stuff. Bame Konin. Okay, so how does the Kenyan Chalifin actually work? Rav Amr Bechelev Shokona. So Rav said that the Kenyan Chalifin works with the vessels of the acquirer, right? So meaning, if Reuven is acquiring Shimon's field, so Shimon has got a field, Reuven's going to acquire it via Chalifin. Reuven gives Shimon a pen. Shimon picks up the pen, and Reuven gets his field. Right? So Bechelev Shalkona, using the vessel of the buyer, of the purchaser, of the acquirer. The Nichal Elekona, because after all, it is beneficial, it is in the interest of the acquirer, the Lehave Makne, Kone, that Shimon, who's being mocked in the field, should be Kone his pen. They said, he'll just get it over with and sell him the field, right? Reuven obviously is chalishing for the field. He wants the field. So he's willing to take a pen and give it to Shimon and say, Shimon, pick this up so I can get your field. The Levi Omer says, Levi, Bechelov Shel Makne, that actually, It's Shimon who's selling the field to Reuven, who gives Reuven his pen. Shimon says, Reuven, I'm selling you my field. Here, take this pen. And that is how we'll make this kinyan. As we're going to explain in a few lines how exactly it works. So now, prior to understanding how it works according to Levi, who says that Shimon, who's selling the field, gives his pen to Reuven, we see Omerle Rafunami Daskarta li Rava. So now it says Rafunami Daskarta to Rava, Ule Levi de Omar Bechelav Shel Makne. So now, according to Levi, who says that it's with Shimon's pen, Shimon's vessel. So maybe you were wondering this. In Masechta Kiddushin, we learned Nechasim she'ein le'en achrayis, nicknamed Nechasim she'esh le'en achrayis. That if I sell, right, if Shimon sells Reuven a field, he can also, by way of the field, when Reuven acquire is kone the field, he can also be kone Shimon's pen by way of the field. He's kone the field. He can also be kone the pen. We also learned that yesterday, right, with Rav Papa, that he gave a shtikl karke who did he give it to? Shmuel bar Acha. Right, he gave a shtikl karke to Shmuel bar Acha, and then by way of the karke, he also gave him, there was also maknet him 12,000 coins so that he can go pick it up for him. Right, you could be maknet metaltlin agav karke. But it doesn't work the other way around. It does not work that Shimon can be makne his pen to Reuven, and then when Reuven takes ownership of the pen, he also gets the field. No, that's backwards. When acquiring property, you can also acquire movable objects. It does not work the other way around that when you acquire a movable object, you also get the field. So therefore, Rav Huna Midaskarta says to Rava, right? So according to Levi, who says that Shimon, who's selling his field to Reuven, he's the one who gives the pen to Reuven. Well, then haka koni ara agav glima. So then it sounds like that Reuven is being kone the land by way of the pen. That by taking ownership of the pen, he now takes ownership also of the property. Im came, but if that's the case, havule nechosim sheyesh lem achrayis niknin im nechosim sheein lem achrayis. But that's backwards. Then that would be that you're acquiring property by way of movable objects. V'on nipchatnam, but we learn punkt fakert. Nechosim sheein lem achrayis niknin im nechosim sheyesh lem achrayis. That when you acquire property, you can also then acquire movable objects at the same time, but not the other way around. Omele, so Rava says to Rav Huna Midaskarta, Ilhava Levi Ocho, if Levi was here, oh boy, you would have been in for it. Have a mapik laipoch pulse denura. He would have, I don't know how to translate, something to do with fire. He would have been very, very upset. Apparently would have excommunicated you. No. Misovet glima maknele. Do you really think that is what's going on? Do you think that Levi was unaware of the halacha that we know from Masechta Kiddushin that nechasim she'ein lem achrayis nitin nechasim she'yesh lem achrayis and not the other way around? Be'ahi anoyu deko mekabel mine gomer vaknile. No, it's a regular kinyan chalifin be'etzin. What's the way that Rav learns? The way that Rav learns is Reuven gives Shimon the pen and Shimon gives Reuven his field. So it's very similar. What's happening here? Shimon gives Reuven the pen. What does Reuven give back to Shimon? Satisfaction. With that hanoya, that when Shimon gives Reuven his pen and Reuven accepts it, that satisfaction that Shimon receives when Reuven accepts his gift, his pen, response or whatever, meaning, and then after Shimon receives from Reuven the satisfaction, he then gives to Reuven the field. So he kind of kicks it off with giving the pen, which then gives Shimon satisfaction. In response to the satisfaction that he receives, he gives Reuven the field. Interesting. So with that hanoah benefit that Shimon receives when Reuven accepts his pen, gomer va'aknile, he's then makne the field to Reuven. All right. Kitanoi. And it's taka machlokes tanoim about who's giving the pen. V'zois lefonu b'Yisrael. This is how they did things in Israel. Ala gula v'ala tmura. We'll explain what that means in a second. L'kayim kol dover. Shalaf yishnai lo v'nosen l're'eyu. They would do a kinyan chalifin. So gula zo mechira. If you wanted to sell something. V'cheni omer lo yigoel. It says by Maaser Sheni, lo yigoel, it cannot be sold. Did I say Maaser Sheni? By Maaser Behema. Tmura zo chalifin. And tmura is to switch it with something. V'cheni omer lo yachlifenu. V'lo yamir also. It says by Korbanus, you can't switch it. And it says tmura, yamir. L'kayim kol davar, shalaf yishnai lo v'nosen re'eyu. So if they wanted to make some kind of a kinyan, whether a mechira or a chalifin, so somebody would take off his shoe and give it to the other guy. So mi nosan lemi. So who gave to who? In Megillas Rus, who was giving to who? Boaz. So Boaz, who was acquiring the field, nosan legoil. Boaz gave the shoe to the goel, to the relative, and then he got and then Boaz in return got the field. Rebbe Omer goel nosan leBoaz. Rebbe Yehuda says no, it was the goel who gave it to Boaz, like Levi says that that the goel who was being mocked in the field gave the shoe to the goel gave it to Boaz. Tana, we learn it by a koinin bichli. So when it comes to a kinyan chalifin, the chalifin thingy doesn't have to be worth a pruta, right? I guess the rabbi takes his pen and is the pen shavu pruta? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. But whatever it is, the vessel does not need to be a shavu pruta. Omer Rav Nachman loshanu ele bichli. It says Rav Nachman that a kinyan chalifin, the chalifin thingy, has to be a vessel. Aval b'peirei lo, but you can't use fruits. You can't use anything other than a vessel. Can't use an animal. Can't use fruit. Rav Sheshes amar afilu b'peiris. Rav Sheshes says no. You can even use peiris. My time to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says it's only a vessel. Amar kok, because the pasuk says no alo, his shoe. No al in midachmin alo, specifically a shoe is a vessel. Rav Nachman says you have to use a vessel. My time to Rav Sheshes, how come Rav Sheshes says you can only use peiris? Amar krah, because the pasuk says l'chaim kol davar, right? Like keilu bichol davar, you can use anything, even peiris. So Rav Nachman nami oksiv l'chaim kol davar. Now according to Rav Nachman, what does he do with l'chaim kol davar? Ahu l'chaim kol davar d'niknim b'minol. Meaning, I think if I understand correctly, he's saying that meaning you can acquire whatever the heck you want with a kli. Either you can acquire a cow with a kli, you can't acquire a cow with another cow, according to Rav Nachman, right? At least not as chalifin, but you can, right? So you can't use a cow as the chalifin thingy, but you can use a pen in order to acquire a cow, sure. Rav Sheshes nami oksiv na'alo. Now Rav Sheshes, who says you can use anything, peiris, so what about na'alo? So Amr Lach Rav Sheshes would say, ma'na'alo dovra mesuyim, well just like a shoe is something that is whole, it's not broken, av kol dovra mesuyim lafuke chatzirimin v'chatzi egos delo. So also you need things that are, you need to do chalifim with something that is whole, something that is complete, not half of a pomegranate or half of a nut. You can't do chalifim with these things. It has to be a complete thing. Rav Sheshes is Rav Sheshes brother of Idi. Kaman kasvino na idna. How can we write in the documents, right, that I guess after it was a kinyan chalifin, they would document it. So how can we write bimanu de kosher le makanyebe with a vessel that is kosher to make a kinyan with? So bimanu, so when we say a vessel, the exclusion of Rav Sheshes, the Amr Konin b'Peiris. Rav Sheshes says you could use Peiris, but we say b'mana, no, it has to be a vessel. The kosher, that has to be something that's kosher. La'afukim mid Shmuel, the Amr Konin b'Maroka. That Shmuel says that you can make a kinyan chalifin with dung. No, you can't. It has to be kosher. The mekanya, right, to be kone. Lafuke mi de Levi, to the exclusion of Levi, to Omar Bechelev Shalmakne, that it's the pen of Shimon, it's the pen of the one being makne, the one who's giving the field. Kamashman the mekanyev lo lekanuye. No, it's to acquire it, not to sell it, not to acquire it. To acquire is a word that I made up earlier today to mean it means to sell. I think it makes more sense in this case than to sell, to acquire or to acquire. Lemekanya lekanuye, right? So kamash malon lemekanya that davka. It is the vessel that of the kona of the one acquiring, not the vessel of the makne, the acquirer, the one who is acquiring it to the other person, not his vessel. Bay. Rav Papa Amar Lemute Matbeah, it to the exclusion of a coin, right? Ein Matbeah Nase Chalifin. Rav Zvid V'Itaim Rav Ashi Amar Lemute Isurei Ano, that you can't use something that's Asur Ba'ano. Okay. Iked Amar, those who say Bey, that when it says it Amar Papa Lemute Matbeah, to the exclusion of a coin. Okay. The kosher, when it says the kosher amar zvid v'item ravashin mute isuri anah, that kosher is to exclude isuri anah, avamorika lo itzrich, we don't need to teach that dung cannot be used for kinyan chalifin. Okay. Asimon konat samet bay. Okay, going back to our Mishnah, we said that when you pick up, if you're going to purchase an asimon, I don't really understand this whole asimon thing. It's kind of weird. It's like a coin that isn't minted, so it's just like basically just like a potential coin. It's like just a sheet of metal, basically, of silver. It's like a silver coin, just without a coin, without like, it's like, imagine a quarter without George Washington on it. It's just silver, I guess. Okay, anyways, so if you pick up an asimon, so then you're koneh the asimon and you have to pay you have to pay the asimon monger. So my asimon, what is an asimon? Amar Rav, says Rav, most anitanos besimile reis amerikas. Okay, so Rav wants to say that what an asimon is that apparently when you go to the bathhouse, simply so that the person who is running the bathhouse, who works at the bathhouse, knows how many people are in the bath. Depending on how many people are in the bath, he has to, I guess, prepare a certain amount of towels, a certain amount of, I don't know what else he needs, a certain amount of, maybe he needs to heat up the water a certain way. He needs to know how many people are in the bath. So you would give just a coin. I mean, I think it was just like a thing that you would give him so that he just knows how many people are around. So it's just this like token that was given to the bathhouse person when he went to the bathhouse so that he knew how many people were there. Okay. So meisve, we have a contradiction though. Ein mechal in meiser sheni al asimon, you cannot be mechal meiser sheni onto an asimon. I don't know. It's just funny because apparently it must have some kind of value because it could be made into a coin. I don't get it really. Like, okay, you could transfer meiser sheni onto money. You can also apparently, I guess, transfer meiser sheni onto like potential money, onto asimons. I don't know. Does somebody know why that is like relevant? So, according to this, we're saying ein mechal ma'aser sheni al asimon. We'll see later on in this opinion that you can. V'lo amos anitanos besimin lebeis amerchas, nor on these bathhouse tokens. So, michlad asimon lav mos anitanos besimin lebeis amerchas. So, it sounds like an asimon and these bathhouse tokens would be two separate things because they are mentioned next to each other. Apparently, they're two separate concepts. V'chitem parusha kamefarish. And if you can say, oh, no, they're not separate, it's just an explanation. What is an asimon? It's one of these bathhouse tokens. But no, we don't learn that way because we do learn that Reb Dosa says that you can be mechal meister sheni onto an asimon. The chachom say ain mechalin, that you cannot be mechal meister sheni onto an asimon, but Vishovin all agree, however, she'ein mechalin almos anitanos b'simin leveis amerchot, that while there's a machlokas about nasimon, all agree, however, that you cannot be mechal meister sheni onto one of these bathhouse tokens. So it seems pretty clear that nasimon is distinct from a bathhouse token. El Amar Reb Yochanan, rather says Reb Yochanan, my asimon, what is nasimon pulsa? It's this like, you know, round coin that has not been minted yet. Okay, fine. But Reb Yochanan time. And Rabbi Yochanan, who offers this explanation for an asimon, is consistent. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, that says Rabbi Yochanan, Reb Dosa and Reb Yishmael Amru Davar Echad. That Reb Yochanan says that Reb Dosa, who says you can be mechalal Ma'aseh Sheni Anto Nasimon, says the same thing as Reb Yishmael. Reb Dosa Hadamar, Reb Dosa that which we just said about Tasimon. Reb Yishmael Mahi. What does Reb Yishmael say? The Tani Vitzarta Kesef Yodcha. It says by Ma'aseh Sheni that you'll take the Kesef. Anything that you could take in your hand. Rabbi Akiva Amar Lirabos Kol Davar Sheish Alav Tzura. It has to have a tzura. It has to be minted, right? So it sounds like Rabbi Shmuel disagrees and says it does not have to be minted. So it sounds like in Asimon, right? Because Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Rabbi Dosa, who's talking about Asimon, is saying the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel, who's saying that it doesn't have to be minted. So it sounds like in Asimon, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is a coin that has not been minted. Okay, and now we get up to this machlokas that we saw yesterday, we saw today. This machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how does a kinyan actually work midoraisa. When I go to the pizza shop and I buy a piece of pizza, is it mine when I pay the pizza monger or is it mine when I pick it up? This is a machlokas, at least midoraisa. Everyone agrees at least midorabana that you'd have to pick it up. But the Mida Oraisa, does the kinyan happen when the pizza monger is paid? Or does the kinyan happen when the pizza eater picks it up? So, Ketzad Moshe Chimenu Peris, so if the buyer, if the purchaser picks up the fruits, Velona San Lomos, and yet he didn't yet pay for it, Enu Yochel Achzor Bo, neither party can be Choser at that point because the kinyan has happened once the fruits have been picked up. Bechule. Omer Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan Dvar Teira, that Mida Oraisa, Ma'os konos. Mida oraisa, money is kona. That when I go to the pizza shop and I pay the pizza monger for my pizza, it's mine. Umepnei ma'amru meshicha kona. So if mida oraisa, it's the payment that is kona, so then why do they say that, that it's yours when you pick up the pizza? Then it's yours, not when you pay for it. Because, gizeru shem yomar lo nisfuchitecha ba'aliyah. As we learned yesterday and also earlier today, out of the concern that when it comes to a wheat monger, right, if a purchaser purchases 10 kilos of wheat from a wheat monger and he pays the wheat monger, if we say that it now belongs to the purchaser, but then, the purchaser leaves the wheat by the wheat monger, even though it already belongs to him, and then a fire breaks out, the wheat monger has no incentive to save the wheat. So therefore, we say that it doesn't belong to the purchaser until the purchaser takes it. And until the purchaser takes it, if it increases in value, the seller can, right, the wheat monger can renege so that he can sell it to somebody else for a higher price. And that way, if there's a fire that breaks out, he has incentive to save it. So, sof, man deshoda deleka boi shalume, to which the Gemara says, why do we need this gezeira? It seems superfluous. Kilu, what are we concerned about? That the purchaser is going to purchase the wheat. He's going to pay for the wheat. It's going to belong to the purchaser. A fire is going to break out and the wheat monger has no incentive to save his wheat. So what? The purchaser, so what is that the purchaser is going to lose his wheat? No, he won't. Find the shmenjik who started the fire and say, pay me. You caused me to lose my wheat. You owe me. So Elagzer Shemitipot Lake Bonus. Yeah, but what happens if a fire just breaks out and there's no one to blame? Right? I was once somewhere, a fire just broke out on its own. I don't know, maybe you can have some glass lying on the floor and the sun goes through the glass like a magnifying glass and starts a fire. Fires can kind of get started, I think. Maybe. There's nobody to blame. So purchaser guy would lose out. So therefore, we're concerned. Imukmas lehu bershuse. However, if we say that it still belongs to the wheat monger until the purchaser takes it, well then, moser nafshe, the wheat monger will make an effort to salvage the wheat, tarach umatzil, and he's going to save it, ve'ilo. But if we say that it belongs to the purchaser, lo maser nafshei, tarach umatzil is not going to be moser nefesh in order to save the wheat. So we say that it does not belong to the purchaser until he actually takes it. Rish Lakish amar mishicha miforeshes min haTorah. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, it is not Mida Oraisa, it is not the giving of the money that purchases the wheat. It is Mida Oraisa, it's when the buyer takes it. Giving the money, Mida Oraisa, doesn't make a difference. Taking it, Kinyan Mashiach, is what makes a difference. My time with the Rishlakish, Akam Rishlakish says this, well, because of the Pasuk. Amakar, the Pasuk says, V'chisimkru mimkar lamisecha, if you sell Epis, okano miyad amitecha. Or you purchase it, you acquire it, miyad, from the hand, you pull it, you take it. Dabinikne miyad, liyad, something that is acquired by taking. So therefore, according to Rish Lakish, Kinyan Mishicha is Midoraisa, Kinyan Maos is nothing. V'Reb Yochanan Omar Miyad, Reb Yochanan says, look, one second, you have to view that pasuk in context. The context of that pasuk is Ona'a. The part, right, says, Al Tonu Ishes Achiv, Ona'a, don't overpay or underpay. So Reb Yochanan Omar Miyad Limute Karka, it's to exclude, right, it says miyad, and something movable, something that you can take in your hand. So the exclusion of property, of real estate, delays bay ona'a, there's no ona'a when it comes to property. Rish Lakish, whereas Rish Lakish responds, Im Kain, if that's the case, that it was just to teach ona'a, to exclude real estate from ona'a, Im Kain, lichtov krov, v'chisim kru mimkar miyad amitecha, al tonu. Just say, don't have ona'a, v'chisim kru mimkar miyad amitecha. O kano lamali. Why do I need o kano? If it's just to exclude karka, then v'chisim kru mimkar miyad amitecha should be enough. Why do I also need o kano? Shmamina l'mishicha, to say that a kinyan happens with mishicha. Reb Yochanan Omar, Reb Yochanan says, no. O kano, my ovile. What does he do with o kano? Mi bar lechitani. We need it like we learn in a brisa. V'chisim kru mimkar al tonu. That the pasuk says when you sell, that the seller should not overcharge. In the other shin is ane lokeach. So all I know is if the buyer gets ripped off, that's a problem. Nisane moche minayin. How do I know if the seller gets ripped off? I.e., if the buyer underpays, how do I know that's also ono? Tamlomer okano, or you purchase al tonu. Don't rip off the seller either. Rish Lakish taite gomer mine. Whereas Rish Lakish says, you can learn all of that. You can learn that out from v'chi simkar, right? We can learn it out the seller from v'chi sim. What is it? V'chi simkru mimkar. We can learn out the buyer from okano, and still we can learn out from the fact that we juxtapose miyad to kano rather than to mimkar. It means that a kinyan is with mishicha. Tanan, we learn in our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Omer says, Reb Shimon called shakesef biyado yado al yono. So in our Mishnah, we had initially said that if you go to buy pizza and you pay for the pizza, so long as the pizza eater has not yet picked up the pizza, there's no sale, and technically speaking, either one can renege. Whereas Reb Shimon says, no, it's not that either one can renege. The pizza monger who has the money, he can renege. The pizza eater who paid the money and has not yet picked up his pizza, he's stuck. So again, tonight we learned in our Mishnah, Reb Shimon Omer says, Reb Shimon, that in the scenario where the pizza eater paid the pizza monger for the pizza but has not yet picked up his pizza, kol shakesef biyado yado al yono, whereas the Tanakhama says, either the pizza eater or the pizza monger would be able to back out still, technically speaking. Although they said that if you do, you get in big trouble from Hashem. But technically speaking, either one could back out. Reb Shimon says no, only the pizza monger could back out, but the pizza eater cannot back out anymore. Mocheru d'matzi adarbe, the pizza monger could back out. Lokech l'matzi adarbe, the pizza eater cannot back out. Now, I omar bishlome ma'os konos. So if you say that mida oraisa money is kone, so mishum achi mocher matzi other bay lokeach lo matzi other bay. That's why I can make the argument for why the pizza monger should be able to back out, but not the pizza eater. Because theoretically, if you think about it, the whole gezeira of nisifu chitecha ba'aliyah is really just incentive. It's so that the wheat monger will have incentive to save your wheat. So therefore, so as long as the wheat monger has the option to back out, so then he will have the incentive to save the wheat. But you really don't need to make any. That doesn't have to have any effect on the wheat purchaser, right? So meaning, if we're saying. So meaning, Reb Shimon, so Reb Shimon reasons that look, mida oraisa, money is kone, right? So mida oraisa, when the wheat purchaser pays for his wheat, he purchased the wheat. Now the chachamim, and I assume that it works because of hefker best in hefker, right? The chacham can say no, it's ownerless. So the chacham say no. We're concerned. Shemanistifu chitecha baliyah. We need. The wheat monger to have incentive to save it. So the Chacham say, okay, therefore either one can back out. Reb Shimon says, look, if it's all about incentivizing the monger, so really you just have to give him the option to back out. Okay, so therefore Reb Shimon says that the monger has the option to back out, but the purchaser does not. Right? So again, so Iyamar, the Shlomo Mahus Kono, so I can understand Reb Shimon, the machlokas between Reb Shimon and, I can understand Reb Shimon's opinion if we say, like Reb Yochanan, that money is what affects the kinyan. Mishum achim, for that reason, mocher matzi aderbe, lokech lo matzi aderbe. Therefore, I can understand why, if the reason why we say that mohus doesn't work is in order to incentivize the wheat monger to save the wheat, so therefore, really only the wheat monger needs to have the option to back out, but the wheat buyer, you know, doesn't need any option to back out. You know, So that really only affects the seller. My brain is shtickle turning to a mush right now, but it's right at the end of the daf, so it's okay. It's not major mush. Eli Omart Mos Einon Konos, but if you say like Rish Lakish that money midoraisa does absolutely nothing, it's all about the Meshicha, well then why should the monger be in any different of a position than the buyer? Money doesn't acquire anything. When the wheat purchaser paid money to the wheat monger, absolutely nothing happened midoraisa. Either one should be able to back out. Then either one should be able to back out. So then I don't understand Reb Shimon's opinion. So Amalech Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish will respond. Look, Alibid Reb Shimon. Lo ka'amino ki kamino alibid Rabbanon. Yeah, it's true. What I'm saying doesn't jive with Reb Shimon. But you know what? I don't care. Because what I'm saying does jive with the Chachamim. And that's more important than jiving with Reb Shimon. Right? The Chachamim argue with Reb Shimon. And as long as, right, and I say, the Chachamim talk old like me. That the Meshicha is what makes the Kenyan midoraisa, the payment is nothing, and therefore either one can renege. So now Bishlama the Rish Lakish, okay, Givaldik. Now I'm digging Rish Lakish's opinion. Hanidika bin Reb Shimon the Rabbanon. Oh, so now I understand the difference between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. According to Rish Lakish, the Rabbanon say that Meshicha is midoraisa, and Reb Shimon, who's a Das Yochid, says that Ma'os Konos midoraisa. And Reb Yochanan, according to Reb Yochanan, who says that Ma'os Konos midoraisa, so then what's the difference between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon? So Ma'ika bin Reb Shimon l'Rabbanon. So you can imagine the difference is the Rav Chisda. The Rav Chisda, Kederach Shetiknu Meshicha b'Mochrin. So just like there's Meshicha by the sellers, right? That they could renege. So then Kach Tiknu Meshicha b'Lekuches. So the same thing, we say that also the buyer can renege until there's a Meshicha, i.e. that it's Rav Chisda says that either one can renege. Rav Shimon Leisle de Rav Chisda, Rabban Islu de Rav Chisda. That Rav Chisda would not be in line with Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon says that only the seller can renege, but the Chachamim would be in line with that, because they say either one can renege. So that is the difference about who can renege. Okay, Gevaldik. This was an action-packed daf, we learned more about Kenyan Khalifin, and we learned Taka exactly, right? Who needs to, we saw the machlokes between Rav and Levi, that Rav says that it is the buyer who gives the pen in order to get the field. Levi had said that it's the seller who gives the pen. We saw the machlokes between, right? We've been talking about this, machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Nachman says that you have to use a vessel for Khalifin, whereas Rav Sheshes says you can even use Paris. We saw the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about how exactly does the Kenyan work Midoraisa. Rabbi Yochanan says that Midoraisa Ma'os are konus, but we say Midorabana that Mashiach should be kona Shamiyomalo Nisifu Chitecha Ba'aliya. And Rish Lakish says that no, Midoraisa Taka the Mashiach is what is konin. So some very, very interesting machlokes in another awesome daf here in the mind-blowing Masechta of Bava Metzia. Peace out.